right, thank you, brother. Amen. Well, I appreciate it, and appreciate the opportunity to get behind the pulpit again. Amen. It's been a while. I look forward to it, and I thank Brother Andrew for the privilege to get up here. This is my friend, Brother Ron McKeever. We've known each other for a long time. I think we met down, I don't know, at a church in Kimberly or Morris or somewhere, and Brother Ron, he's been preaching. We got talking about that. I was about right. He's been preaching for 57 years. He's been preaching almost as long as I've been alive. Amen. And last time I heard him at his church, he finally got that Bible down. I think he knows. I think he's got it down now. But I appreciate him being here. I really do. He's been a true friend. I don't know his favorite color, and I don't know his favorite ice cream. I do know he roots for the wrong football team, but that's okay. Now, see, another reason, brother, give me liberty for a few minutes, and I can be. I told him that we were going a little liberal here, and the first 100 visitors tonight, missionaries excluded. The first 100 visitors was going to get a boat. We were giving a boat away. So, Brother Ron, in promising you, I not only got you a boat for visiting, I've even got you some fish there, brother. And y'all kind of console Brother Ron. Brother Ron was telling me on his way over here, a couple of minutes. Brother Ron was telling me on his way over here, he's getting ready, getting his shoes on, he looked up under the bed, and he seen a carton of eggs. And he saw a shoebox that had $957 in it. So he calls his wife. He said, "Honey, sweetie, can you come in here?" And so Sister McKeever comes in, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "What is this?" He said, "There's a carton of eggs with nine eggs in it." He said, "What is this?" She goes, "Oh, Brother Ron," she says, "every time you preach a bad sermon, I put an egg in the carton." Brother Ron gets, he gets up. He said, 57 years of preaching and 9 eggs, that's not too bad. He said, "Well, honey, what is this $957? She goes, "Oh, every time I get a dozen of them, I sell them for a dollar." So y'all pray for him. True story. I may be sick that night. Amen. I do appreciate him being here. Now, a lot of us have had a bad night, a bad day. Amen. I mean, we've had some bad days, right? Amen. It's not going to come as close to what Brother Ron just went through when I tell you this story about this uncle that had this nephew that worked for Shell Oil Company. And this nephew, he worked for Shell Oil. They sent him down to South America. Uncle says, "We don't get to see him very much anymore, but every Christmas he sends us a nice Christmas present, He said, "This year for Christmas, the uncle sent him a live bird. Said it was a pretty little green bird, had a little yellow top on it, and on his head had a little red around his belly, and had a little crooked beak, And he said, my nephew sent me this." And he said, "So for Christmas," he said, "we had that bird," said, "he was delicious." He said, "Yeah." He said, "We fried him up, had it with some dressing and cranberry sauce and sweet tater casserole, and said that bird was delicious." And so, a few days after Christmas, the nephew calls Uncle up. He said, "Did you get my bird?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "We got it. Live bird now, sent from South America." Okay. He said, "We got him," said, "he was delicious." The nephew said, "Uncle, you did not eat that bird. Tell me you didn't eat that bird." He says, "Oh, yes, sir. We ate him." Oh, boy, the nephew just had a fit. The nephew sat there. He says, "I paid a fortune for that bird." He said, "That bird could speak in 2 languages." Uncle said, "Well, he should have said something." You may have some bad days. I've had some bad days, but that's a bad day. They ate that man's gift. Brother Jeff Some of y'all might understand that bird was supposed to be in for like a pet to have, okay? All right, amen. So they ate that man, they ate him. And let me tell you something, those birds are not cheap. And you know, that's what we see what's going on in our world today. A lot of what we're seeing going on in our world is we're sitting there and we've got a lot of waste going on, amen?
Right.
We're wasting our time and our energy and our talents and our treasures and everything we've got, and it's going into something that's going to be burned up one day, amen?
Right.
And they sat there and they totally wasted that man's gift, amen? And folks, I just can't explain how much better what you're seeing here and in Russia, amen? And it's all because somebody should say something in a multitude of languages, amen?
Right.
We've had some bad days, but that's a waste. And I want to say this too, if you're here tonight, and number one, if you're here and you're a Christian, we need to get back. We need to get close to God, amen?
Yeah.
Amen? If you're away from God at all, because I'm telling you, our time's short, amen? I don't claim to be no prophet. I'm not even that smart of a guy, but I'm telling you what, I'm smart enough to know time's close, amen?
Right.
We're getting down to the end, amen? The clock's winding down. You've heard this for years and years and years, but I'm telling you, you've never seen anything like what we're seeing going on tonight, amen? But I'm telling you, time is getting down. And if you're in here tonight and you are saved, get close to God. But if you're not saved, this is the time you need to accept Christ as your Savior. Amen. You haven't got much time. I'm telling you, you need to get your life and give your life over to Jesus Christ right now. If you're watching on here, if you're in this auditorium and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, tonight's the night. Amen. If you continue to reject Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you how it's going to go. It's going to go something like this. You're going to be sitting around your house one day. You're just kind of hanging out, goofing off, sitting around, maybe watching a ball game, and everything's going on, and then all of a sudden, boom, your family's going to disappear. They're going to be gone. And you're going to look around, and you're going to say, what just happened? And you're going to go over here, and you're going to go outside, and you're going to look. And you're going to see cars crashing into each other, driverless cars crashing into each other. Amen? And you're going to look over at your neighbor, and your neighbor's going to come running out. And your neighbor's going to be in a panic, hollering and screaming because their family's missing also. And then you're going to look down the road, and you're going to see a pilotless plane coming down, and it's going to crash right there in your neighborhood and burn up. And you're going to turn around and you're going to go back into your house. And you're going to look at that TV where you had that game on that was so important. Probably a Florida State game. Amen. And you're going to look at that and the news is going to say millions vanished all over the world. That's what's going to happen. They're going to say graveyards are just busted open and we don't understand what happened. They're just all torn apart. That's what's going to happen. And then, for the folks watching out here, you're going to go and you're going to look down and you're going to look down at that coffee table, at that Bible that your spouse left, or maybe your husband, maybe your father or mother's Bible, and you're going to look at it. And you're going to look at that Bible that you made fun of, that you mocked, that you laughed every time they went to church with. And you're going to look at that Bible and then it's going to hit you. I've just been left behind. And let me tell you, folks, then you're going to realize that you've just been catapulted into the 7-year tribulation. Amen. And it's no picnic. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 24, it's of the worst horror that this world has ever seen or will ever see again. Amen. Folks, I'm no prophet, but I'm telling you, that's fixing to take place very soon. Amen?
Amen.
If we got your life, if you ain't got it right with God, we need to get it right with God. You need to get closer. Amen? If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Keep doing our own thing and going about like we want. But you know what? Praise God. God is not just a God of wrath. He's also a God of love. He gives us warning sign after warning sign after warning sign of what's coming on. Now, the problem is the devil keeps us so busy with everything, we don't get a chance to see these warning signs. But just like you talked about over in Israel, I could sit here from memory right now and I could tell you 12 things that's happened in Israel in the last 2 months that will blow your mind if you haven't watched it. That's the epic center. That's God's heart right there. You want to know what's going on in the world and how close we are to Christ's return? You look at Israel. It's real close. Praise the Lord that He's given us that. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but we sure do know the signs, amen?
Right. Amen.
And I'm telling you, signs are all around us. They're closing in. And I'm telling you, it's time to say something in a multitude of languages, amen? I appreciate the brother being here. Y'all, if you will, give me a few minutes. I didn't look at what time I started. I'm just going to read 12 verses and give you 5 points, and we're done. And if I don't watch my clock, it may be a little bit over. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Folks, I'm going to preach to you tonight on a man of sin. It's more of a preachy-teachy thing, and you can see I've always started backwards, kind of went with my summary, but I appreciate Brother Andrew giving me a little bit of leeway here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. Verse 1 says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him." He's talking about the rapture.
Amen.
That's the next event on God's event. He's gathering us together. This is going to be the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. And if you don't know, and I know most of you in here know, Daniel's already had 69 weeks. Daniel's 69th week, the Jews rejected their Messiah, Jesus Christ. And that began, and that stopped Daniel's time at 69th week. And we went into what's called church age, which we're doing right now. Amen? We're saved Jews and saved Gentiles. And when we get born again, we become part of the church. Amen? And that's where we're at right now. But there's coming a time that God's going to take us out of here, and Daniel's 70th week is going to start. Now, Daniel's 70th week, just as a quick review, 70th week, a week is 7 days. Amen? Now, I ain't got time to go explain all that in the Bible, but the Bible tells us, and Daniel talks about this, that one day is as a year when what he's talking about. So he's talking about a seven-year period. He's talking about the seven-year tribulation. And the seven-year tribulation is all about the Jew. It's all about Israel. It has nothing to do with the church. Now, people make the mistake, and you're going to hear a lot of different teachings out there, and people want to put the church in the tribulation. Now, whether you put the church in the tribulation at any point, whether it be midway or pre-wrath or three-quarters of the way or all the way, you're putting the church in the tribulation, which is for the Jew. And you're messing everything up. Everything. God intended on that to be for the Jew. Now, what they do, that's called replacement theology. That is when you sit there and you're trying to put something for the church in with Israel. Replacement theology. Let me tell you something, folks, and everybody say, well, when the Jews rejected Christ as their Savior, then the church replaced them. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. There's two different identities. You have to rightly divide your word. You have to rightly divide this book to understand this. We never replaced it. And I've got a 2-hour teaching. I'll be glad to teach you at some point on why that is not so. Amen? But what He did, Christ, when the Jews rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah, God took His focus off of Israel, which in the Bible is called God's wife. And He turned it over here to the church, which is called the bride of Christ. Right now, God's focus, His focus and total intent is getting us on the on focus for a bride for his son. Amen. The church God's focus is now on the church. Amen. He's getting a bride ready for His son. Amen. He's not looking at Israel. Now, once we get taken out, God's attention will turn back towards His adulterous wife. And that's what the Bible calls Israel right now, is an adulterous wife. Because why? Israel's sitting there committing adultery, and she's spiritual adultery, going out with all these different idols and gods and everything else. Yeah. Then He will deal with them and give them 7 years to prepare for Him to come back for them. Amen? Understand that. The Bible talks distinctly about two different things. He calls the church, which we're in, a chaste virgin, the bride of Christ. Amen. Rightly divide. He calls Israel the wife of God, an adulterous wife.
Right.
Hosea is a good study for that if you ever go look at it. I've read Hosea, and I'm like, why would God tell a prophet to go take a harlot for a wife? Amen. But that's a perfect example right now of God and his wife. God's wrath was all poured out at Calvary. You can try to put the church in the tribulation anywhere you want, but all of His wrath was poured out at Calvary. That doesn't mean we're not going to go through some bad things before then. Amen. What just happened today in Washington, there's going to be some bad times coming for Christians and Jews right now. Amen. It already has, but it's fixing to get really deep, okay? But I want to tell you what, I still have a God that's on the throne. I still have a God. He ain't up there wringing His hands wondering what's going on. What am I going to do now? Amen. Hey, Michael. Hey, Gabriel, get over here. Did you see what went on? God knows what's going on.
Right.
Amen. My trust is in Him. My trust, I've separated with so many people. My trust has never been in a man. Never. It's never been in a party, a Republican party, a Democratic party, a Tea Party, any other party. Amen. My trust, and people get mad at me and frustrated with me, my trust is only in Jesus Christ. I love Brother Ron McKeever right here. He's proved himself faithful. He's proved himself true over the years. But my faith's not in him. He may disappoint me sometimes. Kind of doubtful at 80-something years, but I mean, hey, my faith has never been in a man. Amen. That don't mean I don't vote for him. I don't support him. I don't try to lift him up when I can. But my faith is always, always, always only been in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't blame you, buddy. I feel the same way. I just can't do it up here. Everybody. Run me off. But Ron, you didn't know all that was in that verse, did you? Amen. Amen. Verse 1. Let's go to verse 2. Verse 2, the Bible says that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, unless COVID-19 comes upon you and there's sickness everywhere. Amen. Oh. Wrong. Wrong Bible there. Let's read this again. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, even if you see the U.S. election taken over and rigged and a dead suit for a president now. And let's go to the King James Version. I got the wrong version there. Let's read this. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, is that day of Christ is at hand. Amen. And all he's talking about here is back there, Satan has always been deceitful. Amen. That's the how he works. Amen. He's always been deceitful. Somebody was deceitful, sent the church of Thessalonica a letter saying that the rapture had already happened, and they missed out. And they were gone.
And so they were worried about that. So Paul is straightening them out here in verse 2, telling them that didn't happen, folks. You know, that letter was not true. And so he goes on now in verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." That mystery of iniquity, when you get your Bible and you compare Scripture with Scripture, and you look up iniquity, if you want to know what the mystery of iniquity is, we can look at the mystery of godliness. And I'm going to just flip over and read one verse over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16 gives you the opposite of the mystery of iniquity. Thank you. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Mystery of iniquity is just the opposite of what we're seeing here. The Antichrist is going to be incarnated with Satan, and he's going to have the embodiment of Satan, where Jesus was a human form with the embodiment of the Holy God in him. But where Christ was received up into heaven, Satan will eventually be sent down to hell. Amen? Verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." I'm going to go over five things real quick here. I got 10 minutes. Title of this message is The Man of Sin. The Man of Sin. I want to look at five things about this man of sin. Number one, I want to look at his character. In verse 3 here, we'll reread that after I take a sip of water. It says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, that that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." What's going to happen, folks? There's going to have a world leader that's come on. After we get taken out here in verse 1, and the church is raptured out, chaos everywhere, there's going to be a world leader take place. And that world leader is going to befriend Israel. And he's going to make friends with them. They're going to think that he is their Messiah. And he is going to come on there, and he's going to rule for 3.5 years. After that 3.5 years, he's going to show himself for who he is, and he's going to get assassinated. And in fashion, just like Christ did, he's going to rise again. Now, once he rises again, he's going to be indwelled with Satan himself. He'll go from the man of sin into the son of perdition. And for the next 3.5 years, all hell is going to break loose on earth. Amen? We're going to see destruction. And that's like, going back to what I just got through saying, the way Satan works right now, he works off deceit. I'm glad we don't see a lot of deceit going on right now. Amen? In the world? You have deceit. And what's deceit cause? Then it's followed by confusion. See any confusion today? man, do we shake hands? Do we elbow bump? Do we fist bump? Do I vaccinate? Do I not vaccinate? We don't know what to do. I'm a registered nurse. I don't know what to do. Amen. I mean, confusion. So you have deceit, then you have confusion, and then you have division. Praise the Lord, we're all united here in the United States of America right now. Us independent Baptists can't even unite. Amen. I mean, and that's the honest truth. I've been divided by so many people. They're so far behind Trump, and I'm like, man, get your eyes off Trump. Yes, I've been called unpatriotic and probably didn't vote for him and everything else. Let me tell you something. I served my country with my life, amen. I didn't just give lip service to being patriotic, amen. I'm a veteran, okay? So, and then you come up and accuse me of not being a veteran, amen. Accuse me of not being a Christian because I don't support Trump. Well, you're not even Christ. I've been told it was not Christ-like, amen. I don't know how I got off on that, but amen. Confusion. So you've got deceit, you've got confusion, you've got division, and then you've got destruction. And that's exactly where we're headed. Might as well get used to it. It's happening. It's coming. Amen. It's on its way. The son of perdition will quote all kinds of scripture to try and prove that he is God himself. Amen. Manifest in the flesh, and he's going to prove it with that. Number two, look in verse 3, still in verse 3, the man of sin, I want to look at his appearing. The Bible says that there's going to be a falling away first. Amen. Amen. I'm no prophet, but I can see a falling away. Not because I'm preaching, but you know what? We should have had to go back here in this fellowship, Paul, and get some chairs and bring here tonight. Sunday, we should have to go back here in this fellowship hall and bring some chairs and bring them in here. But we don't. Amen? You know why we don't? Because we've got a falling away. Amen? That comes first. We see it. Ah! But let's go to Joel Osteen's church. It's packed full. He's got a whole thing. Amen? The Bible also says they're seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen? I'm talking about a falling away of biblical principles, amen. I'm talking about a falling away of good Bible believing Baptist, amen. Brother Andrew was telling me about a guy. There's a group now that they were saved from fundamentalism, amen. Well, bless God, they said, well, you don't have to dress like that, and you don't have to act like that, and you don't have to talk like that, amen. You know why they say that? You know how they get away with that? You know why they believe that? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. That says a holy Bible right there. Amen. Holy Bible. How much holiness do we see today amongst Christians? How much foul language do you hear coming out of other people's mouths? Amen. How much of the social drinking do you hear about? Amen. I'm preaching to me too. Y'all hang on. Amen. How much of the sodomy do you hear about? How much of the I read about the pornography and people looking at pornography and how it's growing. How about the greed? How about the pride? Amen. Right. You don't see a falling away? Amen. You did tell me to come preach, did you? Don't get mad at me. Amen. If you're going to get mad, get mad at this Bible. Or get mad at Brother Andrew. He asked me to come up here and preach. Amen. Don't get mad at Jim. Amen. I'm sick of the sodomy. I've worked in California for years. Amen. But it's right here in the Bible Belt of Alabama. Amen. To where I'm sick of it. I really have to hold my mouth. I really have to hold my mouth when I'm in California. Amen. I'm sick of the no genders. You know why they're taking genders away? Anything that has to do with God, they're doing away. That's why we have a falling away. And my time's short here. Let's go on number three real quick. Man of sin, his mission. Verse 4. Look with me in verse 4 real quick. He opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God or this worship so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Amen. We already talked about that. That's exactly what the man of sin is going to do. He's going to oppose everything that's God. I just got through talking about that. He's going to set himself up to be worshipped above everything. It's going to happen, folks. I want to read this to you real quick. This is something that I found that Obama said several years ago. I meant to go back and look at the year when he was addressing a group of global elitists in Belgium, okay? Now, I'm not saying that Obama's an Antichrist. Don't mistake me. I'm just saying this is what he said. He's talking about the Antichrist. If you listen, here's what he said real quick. Obama says, and for the international order that we have worked for generations to build, ordinary men and women are too small-minded to govern their own affairs. The order of progress can only come when individuals surrender their rights to an all-powerful sovereign. Well, I'm going to have to be honest with you. When I was watching the video on that, and the first bit, he says, you're going to have to surrender to an all-powerful sovereign. Well, I always thought sovereign was an adjective describing something, like a sovereign God, a sovereign leader, a sovereign pastor, a sovereign whatever, a sovereign baseball player, whatever. So I had to go look it up. So I got the written part of the speech to look to see where I missed. I said, that video must have cut it off right there, an all-powerful sovereign. Understand, I'm a science major, not an English major. Amen. So I sat there and I looked at that sovereign, and where Obama said to an all-powerful sovereign, a sovereign, I'm just sharing my ignorance, means a supreme ruler. So Obama is saying that we're all too small-minded, that we have to release ourselves and surrender ourselves and our freedoms to an all-powerful sovereign. Amen? Folks, it's coming. Amen? It's coming. The man of sin, his last device will be to seduce a gullible humanity. And that's what we've become. That's what we've got. I'm going to leave. No, I'm not. Revelation 13:13 through 16 talks about that. Revelation is a good book to read. Me and Brother Ron was talking about that earlier. A lot of people don't understand Revelation. They don't read Revelation. It's a hard book. I'm going to tell you something. The book of Revelation is not a hard book to understand. You know, it's a hard book to believe, but it's not a hard book to understand. Amen. And it's the only book that you can get that says the Bible promises you you get a blessing for just for reading the book. Amen? For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it. Let's look over at number 4. Verse 9 and 10. The man of sin and his methods. Verse 9 and 10. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. His methods. You know something right now? If you're not saved in here, you need to get saved. I can't say that enough.
Right,
if you do not know Jesus Christ, if you're watching right here, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get saved. You need to get that settled tonight. Christ's soon imminent return is closer than any of us realize. Amen? This brother, I hope he gets on his plane on May the 11th or whenever it is he's flying out. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't count on it, you know. You may be taking a different flight, brother. Amen? We may be on a different flight. And we're going to be on the same flight together no matter where you are. Amen? I don't care if you're over in Ukraine or Russia or even in that godforsaken place, Ohio there. Amen? We're going to be on the same flight. Amen? The wrath of God... It's tossed on this wicked world like nothing you've ever seen. It's going to be bad. The wiles of the devil, a lot of people think that's just an individual thing, but that man of sin is going to have the wiles of the devil, an offspring of perdition, indwelled in him with the power of God, and he's going to be worshipped as God. Amen. I'm just going to flip on over to verse 5. I'm going to close with this right here, and this is going to be real short. I'm done. Look with me in verse 8. Man of sin in his destruction. Verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Folks, he's going to be destroyed. We're going to be saved out of it. If you're in here and you've got Jesus in your heart, you know heaven is your home, you've got nothing to fear. Nothing. I've often said that the man that has a fear of God does not need to fear any man, and I fear no man. Not because I'm tough, not because I got a lot of guns, or not because I can do karate, or, you know, I don't fear any man because of whom I do fear. Amen? I'm going to close it. I was going to read 9 verses. I'm going to read you 2 verses because I'm about 5 minutes over my time. Revelation 19 and verse 19. My wife asked me on the way over here, said, did you get it down to 30 minutes? I said, well, one way or another. Brother Andrew, you need to give me a long time to prepare. You know, if you don't give me a time limit, you ain't got to give me no time to prepare, because I can get up here and talk for 2 hours. I don't mind. I'll go. Amen. Now, if you're going to have me get up here and give me 45 minutes, you better give me a couple of weeks to kind of get it down to 45 minutes. And if you need to get me down to 30 minutes, you better give me even longer. That's why he's got me towards the end of the month here. Amen. I love talking about my Lord and Savior. Amen. And I love talking about prophecy. I have thought about prophecy. It's always been a love of mine. But this past year, I'm seeing it play out in front of me like we've never seen before. But look with me in Revelation 19 and verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Folks, you can think what you want to. You can worry about what you want to. You can be concerned about what you want to. But I want to tell you something I know, and I know for a fact, and it ain't my thinking, it ain't my philosophy, it's not what I hope for. We win in the end. Amen.
Thessalonians 2 real quick. I'm not going to preach, just reading one verse. That was good. And the Lord is coming back. I believe it. And everything he said about the church not going through the tribulation, I believe 100%. That's not meant for us. It wasn't designed for us. And God's going to go back to dealing with the nation of Israel. And for all those people that say that if you're divorced, you can't do anything, God's divorced from Israel right now. So I guess he can't do anything right now. But he's going to be rejoining Israel. And all those verses, as we read through our Bible, and I believe the Bible Institute students are going through Hosea right now. And all that stuff in there, all that prophecy, there's so much in there about God and Israel. And so pay attention to that when you're studying it. Okay? And so he preached all this message about what's coming, the man, the son of perdition. We're going to be getting out of here. You say, well, what do we do as a church? Paul, after he told him all this, told him what to do. We look at verse 14. Or verse 15. Look at verse 15. He said, therefore. Well, I've always heard every time you see therefore, find out what it's there for. Well, he already preached what it was there for. Okay? The Lord's coming back. And the reason why he explained all this stuff that's going to happen is because he's trying to tell this church of Thessalonica, this hasn't happened yet. Because somebody had written these people a letter and said it was from Paul saying the Lord had already come back. And Paul said no, because all this stuff's going to take place after he comes back. And so he's explaining what's going to take place. And after he does that, the church of Thessalonica might read all this and say, man, what do we do? Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Amen. I mean, we've been preaching about the armor of God and why we wear it, to stand, withstand, stand fast. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and leave independent Bible-believing Baptist churches. No, it says, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Whether I told you, Paul said, or whether you read it in the book, stand fast and hold to it. And you say, well, you know, that's just tradition. Hey, there's some traditions that Paul taught that we as a child of God ought to stand for. We ought to stand. If you don't do those things, does that mean you're not saved? No, but you're a bad testimony. Amen. So I like how Paul ends that after he tells us all that stuff, and I'm sure that he could have got to it if he had another 2 hours to get down a few more verses. But, Paul tells us, therefore, brethren, stand fast. He said, what do you do? He said it tonight. Just get close to God. You got things you need to get right, get right. If you're not saved, man, I'm telling you, you have heard it time and time again. I've been preaching a lot, and I've been mentioning salvation a lot. Why? Because he's coming back. Need to get saved. Thank you, Brother Jim. I appreciate that. All these men have done a great job this week, or this month,